Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hello. Hey, you know what? We do have to start the show by saying, well, the Timothy got beat last night in the Eastern Final. Good game, but the other team was a team from Williamsport, St. John Newman. Very impressive team. You know, Nativity averaged 62 points a game this year. They had 62. Unfortunately, they gave up 82. And they have a kid there who scored 39 points last night. He was on fire from three-point range. And, you know, we have those classes like that when the smaller schools, you've got a player. Sometimes he just stands out above everybody else, and that's kind of what happened last night. Nativity had some bad shooting in the first half. Couldn't really hit any threes, fell behind, and then couldn't really pull it out. But, hey, man, great season. Made it to the Final Four, you know, after coming off a great championship run last year, and of course with the 2020 being one of the last few standing. So hats off to the Nativity Boys team anyway. They gave us a lot of excitement this year.
Yeah, they sure did. And for Schuylkill County sports, man, it's good to see, you know, Pottsville High School Nativity and them going into those tournaments. And coming out and finishing on the higher end of it. Too bad none of them couldn't win at all in the tournaments. But they did win. Pottsville did the Schuylkill League in the district, which is big in sports to win that, and so did Nativity. So, you know, basketball is up in the same way what they did in football. They had good season, but you got swimmers from down there in Blue Mountain, which is in Schuylkill County and stuff like that, who won the gold medal in swimming. And Schuylkill County sports, Bob, is on the rise. It's moving in the way has been for years. So, hey, hats off to all of them. Congratulate all the coaches and all the young men for the hard work and dedication that it takes to be a champion and to compete on those higher levels. It's a major accomplishment for all the programs from those schools. It takes hard work. It don't come easy.
Right. You know, I just want to also point out we've been talking about your nephew playing for Kennedy Catholic out there in the western part of the state. They'll be playing at 1:30 this afternoon in their class state. And semifinal too, so you know. Well, keep an eye out on that score for you, Aaron.
yeah, ain't that something? Now, that you know, for people that Elijah Harding is my sister Gail, her daughter Messina's son. So that's my great nephew.
Oh, the great nephew. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's my great nephew. He's a shooting machine and. You know, he dumped in last game 22 points. Let's see if he can redupe that kind of thing this time and go a little bit higher. Yeah. You know, you need those things to make championship runs. Your scoring guys got to score.
Right.
Defense.
Right.
Yeah, you got to have a good defense. So, but, you know, when he was a freshman, Kennedy Christian, when he played on the varsity, they won it all. So his freshman year, he was in the state tournament, and they won as a freshman. And then the next year, they got beat by this team that they're playing tonight. So let's see if they can overcome last year. But one of their major players wasn't playing last year because something about recruiting. He could play all the regular season games, but he couldn't play when he transferred in the championship game, but now he can play in the championship game. And hopefully that he is the difference that they didn't have last year and the year before, right. You know? So hopefully that he makes a difference and they'll come to Hershey, baby.
Hey, yeah. You know what? I want to tell you something too, you know, just to keep the hope up because this team that beat Nativity last night, St. John Newman out of Williamsport, they lost to Nativity last year in the Eastern Finals. So some of these kids, you know, they were holding, you know, they wanted the rematch, and they got it. And I said, there's one guy went off with 39 points, and, you know, there you go. You can come back out and win, you know. So just to keep that in mind, too, this is a team that Nativity beat on their way last year. Now these guys are playing in the championship game against a real good team from out in Pittsburgh way, too. Bishop Canavan, they're going to be playing this St. John Newman. They only gave up 21 points in the game last night. They had the other team had 13 points going into the fourth quarter. That's some defense.
Yes, it is. It's tremendous defense. But, Bob, what do we got in boxing going on? Before I get started,
yeah.
Bob, you know, I was in a store, you know, and I looked down and I seen John Madden, Madden's father,
right.
Who owns formerly Muhammad Ali's training camp called the Fighters Haven. I looked down, and they had a ESPN has done. John Madden passed just a few weeks ago. They have a full pledge magazine dedicated to John Madden from 1936 to 2021. And they're calling it Mr. Football.
Oh, right.
And boy, man, is it a beautiful, beautiful magazine, something collector thing like they did on Muhammad Ali when he passed. And, you know, looking through the magazine, I found something, some things out about Mike Madden that I didn't know, that he played basketball in Indiana. Isn't that something?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah. He played basketball and things. When man, I was looking through this. So it's something to look at. It's a collector's thing to keep. And I purchased me one. It's $14 for it, but, boy, it's a jewel. And it got, you know, the Madden pictures of his Madden game for Nintendo and all that in that magazine. So we just want to encourage people to go out and get it because John Madden, Mike Madden's father, was an advocate boxing fan, and that's why Mike purchased Muhammad Ali's training camp, you know, to have a jewel like that. In her family. So, man, oh, man. I say, you know, go out there. They have pictures of him when he played for the Packers and all that kind of stuff, man, when he was playing football and when he was coach of the Raiders, when they picked him up, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, when he was traveling around in the bus. And they have pictures of Mike Madden in here and the family in this magazine. So, man, it's really done nice.
Thank
ESPN for giving us something special to collect and, you know, to have, because this is a jewel. It really is.
Good.
So what do we got, Bob, as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars? What do we got on? We're going to have some conversations. And these conversations, man, is from the information that we receive. And when we get it, we want to talk about it, and we're going to talk about some of that today, you know.
Right.
All right. So, come on, Bob, take us around the world. What do we got?
All right. Hey, you know, we're going to start with ESPN. So we begin at Madison Square Garden, New York City, USA, on ESPN and ESPN Plus earlier. And it's going to be Edgar Berlanga. He's 18-0. Of course, we know he has 16 knockouts. All of those came right in a row in the first-round knockouts in his last two fights. He's gone the distance, but he's 18-0, defending his WBO NABO super middleweight belt against Steve Rolls, 21-1, 12 KOs. He only lost to Triple G, so that's going to be the topper tonight. And also at the undercard, we got John Bauza, 16-0, 7 knockouts versus Tony Luis, 29-4, 10 KOs. That's a super lightweight showdown. Heavyweights Justin Rolfe, 6-3-1, and Fabian Valdez, 3-6, headline in Derry, New Hampshire. And in Vienna, West Virginia, Brandon Alexander steps in with Vitaly Grubkin, who's 4-3. That's a superweight finale there. Cruiserweights Tyler Canning and Spur Round Zone face off in Bar None, Wyoming. And The Zone will broadcast from Los Angeles, California, highlighting the welterweight clash between Alexis Roca, 18-1, 12 KOs, and Blair the Flair Cobbs out of Philadelphia. He's 15-0-1 with 10 KOs, as well as the 21-0 Michael McKinson versus 17-3 Alex Martin in a welterweight contest. And also light heavyweights, Bektimir Melikuziev, 8-1, takes on David Zagara, who's 34-7. Up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Brandon Brewer, 25-1-1, and Antonio Napolitano, 5-0, vie for the vacant WBC, US, NBC middleweight strap. And the co-main events down in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, on Azteca TV will have 22-0 with 18 KOs, Carlos Sanchez-Valadez, crossing the ropes with Pedro Campa, 33-1-1, 22 KOs in a super lightweight showdown. And super lightweights Jose Zepeda, 35-2, 27 knockouts, and Francisco Javier Perez, 18-12-1, do battle. Double feature in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, with 10-0 Esteri Medeiros-Suero versus Martin Orlando Roca, 7-9 in a lightweight clash. And 12-0 super lightweight Kenny De Leon slugs it out with Jonathan Ariel Ramirez, 28-15-5. Managua, Nicaragua hosts the bout for the country super bantamweight crown between Alexander Mejia, 17-2, and Freddie Lanez, 14-2. The WBA Federlatin super flyweight title fight between the champion Kivara Fernandez, 24-1-1, 13 KOs, and the challenger Pablo Macario, 7-2, 4 knockouts. That closes the show in Panama City, Panama. Taisi Sports TV will be in Buenos Aires, Argentina, highlighting the Deborah Anahi Lopez, 20-0-1 versus Tamara Elizabeth DeMarco, 9-4, fight for the open WBO World Female Flyweight Belt. And over in the Cedro Casanova on Channel 9, Argentina, Sabrina Maribel Perez, 17-1-1, and Yalis Morago Franco, 27-11-4, both seek the vacant WBC Silver Female Featherweight Crown. And Villa Carlos Paz in Cordoba will have Argentine DirecTV broadcast to Mariano Gaston Faria, 7-0, versus the 15-11 Julio Cesar Ruiz, super lightweight attraction. And in Belgar, Colombia, welterweights Destin Butler and Esteban Olesko trade punches. Over now to Wembley Arena, London, UK, on BT Sports TV, where the headliner is the bout for the EBU European welterweight title between the champion David Avanesian, 28-3-1, 16 KOs, and from Finland, Oskari Metz, 15-0, 5 KOs. Also on the bill is the Hamza Shiraz. He's undefeated, 14-0, versus Jez Smith, 13-4-4. They clash for the Open WBC International silver middleweight strap. The Sam Noakes, he's 8-0 versus Vincenzo Finiello, 15-4-2. Confrontation for the WBC International silver lightweight crown. Also the Louis Lin, 10-0 versus James Beach Jr., 14-2. Fight for the WBC International silver featherweight belt. And 11-0 Dennis McCann and Charles Tondo fight for the vacant WBO youth bantamweight title. And over in York Hall in London, they top their card with the Mickey O'Rourke versus Michael Mooney super lightweight feature. Oldham Lancashire finishes their show with the light heavyweight matchup of Mark Heffron, 26-2-1 versus Tomas Bezvoda, 12-18 at a Newcastle Tyne and Wear. The finale is the super light fight between Tommy Hogsden and Rustam Fatakulin. Super featherweights Colm Murphy and Sam Melville meet up in the curtain closer in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And Matteo Signani, 31-5-3, and the 24-2 Anderson Prestot duke it out for the EBU European and middleweight title in the headliner from Massy, France. While in Corbeil, Essonnes, it's Hassan Amzil climbing in against Abaraza Kouya to fight for the country's vacant super lightweight crown. And the co-main event has the clash between the country's middleweight strap, Mohit El Mokofaki, he's 16-2-1, and the challenger, 11-2, Frank Zimmer. Mazen Garbe and Pas de Calais spotlight unbeaten lightweight Laid Douadi, 20-0-1, and in Emerin Nord, the focus is on the cruiserweight Samuel Kaji, who's 16-1. Female super lightweight Flora Pili and Kazenjia Medic meet up in Mosay, and the female super bantamweight battle between Jessia Marcel and Fatima El Kabous ends the night in Garges Les Gonesses in Val d'Oise. We have Kevin Castillo squaring up with Sergio Gonzalez in the super lightweight finale in Madrid, Spain, while in Cadiz, Andalusia, it's heavyweight Daniel Robles and Freddy Ponquillo going at it. Debuting fake female flyweights in action in Pola de la Viana when Minerva Gutierrez slugs it out with Yvette Garcia. Tinicello Balsamo in Lombardia, Italy, host the contest for the country's welterweight crown between Nicolas Esposito, 15-0, and the 39-3-3 Tobias Giuseppe Loriga. Tomo tops their bill with the Douglas Leon Chavez versus Atai Shahir bantamweight attraction, while in Meda, light heavies Mohamed El-Gharabi and Milos Jankovic meet up. Udine finishes their show with the highlight of a lightweight battle of Francesco Santa Croce and Marvin Demolare. Freeport in the Czech Republic shines the spotlight on 7-0 welterweight Vladimir Lengo, and the open IBO Continental Super Welterweight belt will go to the winner of the Abbas Barau 11-1 versus 14-1 Brian Damian Chavez, and that main event is in Berlin, Germany. Munich hosts the Adel El-Gharamawi versus Jacob Chavar welterweight showdown, and Frankfurt showcases the 12-1 super middleweight Stefani Kirikev. 10-1-1 featherweight Arizon Garicki is the focus in Wuppertal, Nordrhein-Westfalen, and in Szczecin, Poland. They finished their show with the bout for the country's vacant heavyweight strap between Kasper Mania and Jacek Krzysztof Piatek, and that's broadcast on Polsat Sport HDTV. Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, they host a big card tonight, topped with the IBF World Flyweight title fight between the unbeaten champion Sonny Edwards, he's 17-0, four knockouts, and Muhammad Vasim, 12-1, eight KOs. And topping the undercard is Regis Prograis, 26-1, 22 KOs versus Tyrone McKenna, 22-2-1, six KOs. This is a super lightweight contest. And the featherweight battle of TJ Doheny, 22-3, 16 knockouts, and the 27-10, Cesar Juarez. Down in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, they highlight the Eshabuli versus Limi Madeje super middleweight contest. And we have three vacant ABU titles on the line tonight in Lagos, Nigeria, headlined with the clash for the open featherweight crown between Emmanuel Cordy, 24-3, and the undefeated Rilwan Lawal, 14-0. Sade Apa, 9-1, and Kabuli Tawalahi, 17-4, vie for the light heavyweight belt, and it's Husseini Taba versus Tony Salam for the cruiserweight strap. We have an all-female card happening in Gombe, Kinshasa, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, topped with the Naomi Yumba versus Anisha Bashir lightweight battle. And across town at the Shark Club, the spotlight is on a debuting heavyweight, Issa Kayembe. And we have Adli Hafiz, 9-0, fighting Kamsan Polsan, 40-12-1 for the UBO World Middleweight title in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And in Cebu City, Philippines, it's flyweight Garen Diagan, 7-1, and April J. Abne, 7-1, facing off. The WBC World Light Flyweight title bout takes place in Kyoto, Japan, where the champion Masamichi Yabuki, he's 13-3, 12 KOs, heads into a big rematch with Kenshiro Taraji, the former champ, that 18-1, that's the only loss he has, and that big rematch tonight. Broad Beach in Queensland, Australia, hosts a big night of title fights, topped with Jacob Eng, 15-0, 11 KOs, defending his IBF International and WBO Oriental lightweight belts against the 47-6 challenger, Billy Dibb. He also has 27 knockouts, Billy does. As also Vegas Larfield versus Luke Martin for the vacant Australia and vacant ANBF Australasian featherweight titles. And we have the 12-1-1 Justin Frost fighting the 13-2-2 Blake Minto for the open IBF Asia Oceania welterweight strap. Also is Tyson Best, he's 14-3 versus Ty Telford, 6-1-1 for the vacant ANBF Australasian welterweight crown. Casey Caswell versus Patrick Enianya for the vacant ANBF Australasian cruiserweight championship. And Ricky Silver versus Austin Ayukuso for the open Australia Queensland State cruiserweight title. Enza Press steps in against Pam McClellan to fight for the vacant Australian New South Wales State female super welterweight belt as well. Over in Melbourne, they host the cruiserweight contest of Peter Salehusui, 8-0-1, versus Benjamin Kelleher, 15-3-2. And Flemington, they end their show with Sam Solomon. He's 47-16-1, taking on the 6-2 Jesse White for the open Australia Victoria State middleweight title. There we go, man. We've got 23 countries. We're back up there again. It's nice to see everywhere around the world starting to get back in action here, coming out of the pandemic. 23 countries, that's the most we've had in a while.
Yes, yes it is. And it's showing that boxing's on the move. You know, as we say, we bring it around the world, Bob. And thank you for dipping in and dipping out all of them countries, 20-some countries. and most of those countries are where our viewing audience are at, you know,
yeah.
that tune into the show, man. So this is a great thing. But we want to tune in what we tuned into last week before we get into that heavyweight division. Let's talk about Vitaly Klitschko and his brother, Vladimir. You know, they're over there fighting in the Ukraine trying to hold off Russia. And it looks like, you know, things are sparking in their way, in the Ukrainians' way. The United States government announced, the Biden administration, that inside the cutting edge of war, they have these sophisticated drones. Okay, on Wednesday, the White House announced that a new $800 million military support package for the Ukraine in a bid to help that country fight back against the ongoing Russia invasion. You know, part of this package is for the cutting edge of these drones, Bob, and this is helping the Ukrainians as a lethal weapon, you know, to hold off. It's like a silent attack, Bob.
Right, right.
And I'm happy to see now, not only with the sanctions, is that, you know, they're helping them with sophisticated weapons in order to fend them off. And I think a large part of that when Putin was talking stuff to Biden. So on Wednesday, you know, they put it on like 9,000 anti-armor system, 7,000 small arms system, and strategic different war systems to help the Ukrainians find them, cut them off, you know, and hope that they get in a battle to defend them off. You know, they can say what they want. Russia tried to make a move in Afghanistan, and the Taliban and the Mujahideen fought them for years and held them off. So what Biden is saying is that Russia ain't as strong as their mouth is.
Right.
And they're going to see that the United States has the baddest fighting army in the world, and them guys get the job done when they need to, and don't call the boys out because they all start signing up wanting to go to war. You know what I mean? And those weapons will help those Ukrainians. You know, USA, baby, it don't get no better. Freedom, justice, and equality. We may have our own problems in the United States, but when it comes time for Americans to pull together, and when they see something unjust, the American people stand up. When American people stand up, they stand up all around the world and follow suit. You know, we've seen that with the police when they did that up in Minnesota to that young man, and they killed him. Where it rang around the world and start protests all around the world when Americans stood up and said something's wrong, something unjust about this thing. And you've seen how it made great changes in the police systems and taking bad officers off the street and into the courtroom, and what they do wrong, finding them guilty. And that's what they're going to have to do to Putin, to take him into international court and find them guilty, and then let them do what he has to do. Anytime you hit hospitals and babies, and now, you know, like they did before, they're fighting culture and art, Bob. You know, they bombed a cultural center that had high-priced art in it, and then what they do is come in and get the art, and the art ends up in Russia worth
right.
millions and millions of dollars. So, you know, they're fighting all different kind of ways, but they're always looking to rob, cheat, steal, grab, and stab. So, hey, hats off to the Biden administration for giving that. No one's seen that coming, but they're saying that these drones are making a different immediate impact.
Oh, I bet. I can imagine that, sure. And, you know, those things, they're talking about the no-fly zone and things like that. Well, these are these drones that – basically, are under the radar, you know, to put it simply. And yeah, it's a good thing. I'm happy to see we made a move, because a lot of the world is just sitting around watching what's happening here, we know that Putin has his fingers on the big button and all that kind of stuff, you know, but there's still ways to shut this guy down. And we are starting to see that Russian army not as powerful as everybody thought. You know, it sounded like Putin was going to go in there and just wipe them right out and, like, take this over. We'll be done in a week. You know, we're moving on a month now. And the Ukrainians are dug in and fighting hard, man, just like you were saying in Afghanistan. Yeah, this isn't going to turn out well at the end of the game from Russia, I don't think.
No, I don't think so neither, Bob. But the Klitschko brothers are on the front line fighting.
Yeah.
And they're champions along with Usyk, and who's the current, yeah, and Lomachenko. These champions went home and armored up, and they're out there fighting, and the boxing community supports them, and hats off to them. You know, all of them are young men, you know, got fabulous careers, a lot of money, but they laid it down for country, you know, and they're over there fighting. And
right.
We'll jump right in.
Let me actually bring up one more name here. I want to know also mention a woman who is a Ukrainian national. She's also a boxer, Alina Shatternikova. She's over there. She grabbed a weapon, and she's there too. So let's not forget about the women are fighting for their country too. That's Alina Shatternikova.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. You know, with Usyk being over there, Bob, and we'll jump right into that heavyweight division conversation. With Usyk over there, he's a champion in recess. You know, him and Anthony Joshua had a rematch going on, a big fight worth millions and millions of dollars. But Usyk chose to go home and help fight and defend off Russia. So it left Anthony Joshua out there, you know, where he wanted a rematch. But, you know, Anthony Joshua is saying that he wants to fight someone in between. Okay?
Right.
I say, yeah, that's a good idea. Keeps him busy. And the only fight that needs to happen for Anthony Joshua to keep him up on that level, Bob, is Trevor Bryant, who just defended his WBA title. And, you know, Usyk has the WBA big title. And it would only – the next in line would be Trevor Bryant for him to fight him, because it would be for a title.
Right.
And that would put Anthony Joshua, if he wins, it would make him the WBA champion. And,
yeah,
you know, as Usyk tries to find a way to keep going on, it will give the heavyweight division that WBA heavyweight championship. It keeps moving with Anthony Joshua. And then when he comes out of recess, then him and Anthony Joshua fight is worth major money, because now, you know, it's already major money, but for title's sake, I think it's very appealing in the WBA for Fruitful Thought, is that the bonus in Anthony Joshua, Trevor Bryant, for that purse bid, I don't think that makes sense right now. I think since Bryant is the champion, right, the interim champion at the WBA, since him, Usyk, and Anthony Joshua couldn't fight because of Usyk's situation, the only rightful thing to do is make that fight with Anthony Joshua and Trevor Bryant. That's the right thing to do for boxing.
Great. And, yes, it is. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just say whoever loses and the Anthony Joshua Bryant wins, then the bonus will come up the board, so he would be right there. You know,
right,
he would be the next one in line. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be the right thing. Take the top echelon fight, let them fight, and let him get his mandatory. You know what I mean? It would fall right in line. And this is an interesting conversation. And then after that happens, then we can see once Tyson Fury defends his championship, how they can make the bigger match between to unify all the titles. I think that needs to happen as Fury fights, Anthony Joshua fights. You know, they blew the big one. When they didn't make that a match, they pushed it too far down the road and they're taking fights in between. They blew that big one, but Anthony Joshua was right in the same position. You know, let them two fight. Let Trevor Bryan and Anthony Joshua fight. You know, I think it's a dynamite fight, whether it be in Wembley Stadium or they take it over to Saudi Arabia or Dubai, where Anthony Joshua has fought in Saudi Arabia, Dubai. I think this is very, very interesting, and it will give Anthony Joshua a chance to be champion again. That creates the big one. You
right.
know, Bob?
Right.
What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, Joshua needs to do something like we've talked about. And, yeah, we talked earlier this week when you brought up the name Trevor Bryan. And I was like, yeah, that's a perfect idea just because he has a belt, like you're saying. He you know, Usyk can't fight. We got Fury tied up with his things and everything else, with his white fight. And, you know, this is Joshua versus a champion. And the winner gets that belt. And so, you know, whatever happens with the Usyk situation, right, we're going to see it might be Trevor Bryan stepping in with Usyk down the road. We don't know, but let's see the fight happen. And, you know, it's, rather than seeing Joshua going in there and just taking on anybody to just do some work, you know, that's let's see a real fight with a belt on the line, a big belt.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it would good to see him. It'd keep him busy, keep him sharp, Anthony, because I don't think Joe Joyce and them guys, that's not the fight. It
right.
don't mean nothing. There's no gain but a win out of that. Fighting Trevor Bryan, there's a definite gain, which is called a heavyweight championship of the world.
Right.
And I believe that's the fight that needs to happen. You know,
because, you know, we want to see Joshua. Yeah, right now it's all Fury, Fury, Fury. They're selling 90,000 tickets at Wembley for the Dillon White fight. And Joshua, you know, he needs to get his name back there too now. You know, I mean, let this all go. And all right, so we have Tyson Fury bringing 100,000 people to Wembley. Let's see what Joshua. We know he can put 70,000 plus in the stadium too. So, you know, maybe they do it in England and just keep that buzz going, you know, as far as the heavyweights and England.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our guest, we lost our guest.
No.
They hung up. Absolutely, Bob. We got to try to get them on the show, you know. We're going to ask them to call back in here.
Okay.
As we talk about, you know, the Usyk and Trevor Bryant and Anthony Joshua to put all of them back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And there's other news too we have going on in the heavyweight too. You know, speaking of Tyson Fury, his cousin Huey Fury is making some noise. He wants to get busy again too. And he's talking about Michael Hunter maybe going up with him. We know Hunter, you know, he kind of made a move away from what he was doing, and we're not sure if that worked out well for him or not. You know, but right now we got, you know, he's hoping to fight either Michael Hunter or Hellenius too. You know, there's another guy that's name's been tossed around, and we know we have that other IBF eliminator now that's finally been signed up for Filip Hrgovec. He's going to be taking on Zha Zhahei, the big Chinese fighter, too. So there's a couple other things. We also have, you know, Du Bois. He was supposed to be fighting Bryant also, but that they have a purse bid happening down the road, I guess, that is like next week. Okay, we got somebody. Here we go.
No. Hey, Jack.
I talked to him. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But, yeah, again, we talked about the Joyces and the Du Bois and those guys too, but that was part of the Trevor Bryant situation from a couple of weeks ago. They were saying again about the purse bid coming up, but there's a lot of big things happening. And again, we just want to see these guys keep fighting. And unfortunately, Usyk's, you know, involved in protecting his family and his country, but we're going to see hopefully Joshua take on somebody, and that's a great idea, Trevor Bryant. Plus, you know, he's like the forgotten champion. We talk about him all the time. He's the guy that, you know, who's the champion? Yeah, well, Trevor Bryan, man. He's been for a while now. And, you know, between the pandemic and other things that were happening, it just didn't, you know, get him out there enough with exposure. But I think that can all change by the summer.
Well, Well, so do I, and I think he deserves to be in the heavyweight conversation is because he is the WBA heavyweight champion of the world. You know, they're talking about other guys in the heavyweight division for Anthony Joshua to fight, and I don't think all that makes sense. I think what makes sense is Anthony Joshua fighting Trevor Bryant. That's the right thing to do because he's next in line from Usyk. You know, he is champion with a champion in recession. You know, Trevor Bryant can keep on fighting. So the only rightful thing to do is to have Anthony Joshua fight him. And I think the WBA and them, I think they go for that because it's a big fight. It's a title fight. And I think that's the kind of fight with Anthony Joshua on his level that he needs at this time. You know, a fight like that, a Joe Joyce and them thing, it don't mean nothing for him to fight. Or Ortiz and anyway, you know, like Wilder's under suspension. So that doesn't mean nothing. And with Wilder, it all the time takes some time to put those type of fights with Wilder together. You know what I mean? But yeah. I think this fight with Trevor Bryant is the fight that needs to be made.
And it can be made and it can happen really quick, too, because, we're saying Joshua needs to fight. Bryant just fought a month ago, or whatever. So, you know, they're ready to go. It's not like a big, long layoff. Everybody's coming off the layoff. We had like 2 years of pandemic. And he didn't know who was fighting, when they were fighting, and you know, everything was going on. He think he had a fight, somebody got sick. But we're kind of getting out of this now. We're starting to see, like, fights actually coming off. And so they're ready to go. So I don't think you're going to have to really worry too much about, like, a Trevor Bryan or an Anthony Joshua getting in shape because they're pretty much ready to go right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob, with, you know, you talk about everybody coming off of a layoff. Spence is back on the scene. You know, whether he can make some big fights, Earl Spence, you know, they have a pay-per-view set up for him, the comeback into the picture. So
yeah, Gazugas, that's April 16th, yeah.
Yeah, we have to mention him with the coming off so we can see in gear, you know, that with that detached retina that he had, the car accident he had, you know, how does it figure out? Is he going to be leery when he gets hit? You know, I had a fighter named Julian Jackson who had two detached retinas and came back from them, but he didn't have a lot of his full vision. You know what I mean? When he came back,
right?
You know, he only had like maybe 80-some percent, something like that. In his eyes. So let's see if Earl Spence has some difficult problem once he gets hit. That's what you have to see first. And will him and Crawford come together? You know, since this lawsuit that Crawford has had against Bob Arum, you really haven't had any conversation.
No.
About Crawford.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's the big fight for Earl Spence. And I think, you know, when guys are fighting guys with names, it's a name game thing. You know, maybe they can't do something by themselves. But when you put two guys with two good fighters with two names, it means something. And the real boxing fan says, wow, this is a real dynamite fight. And it's the one that it goes that puts down in the history of the game where two great fighters come together and they compete. So, but he has to get past Earl Spence does is the, in that fight in April, and let's see how he can move on to bigger and better things.
Right. And, you know, I just want to comment, too, tonight. Man, that's a big fight tonight on ESPN with Berlanga. You know, he had the big streak, 16 straight first-round knockouts, and he had two decision wins. But, you know, he's coming off a torn bicep, and that's not an easy thing to come back from. But he's facing a guy, Steve Rolls, you know, who only has the one loss to Triple G, too. So I'm looking forward to that fight tonight at Madison Square Garden. That's going to be a big one. We'll see where Berlanga stands. You know, like you talk about these guys undefeated until you fight somebody. You know, this guy's got one loss. He lost to Triple G a few years ago, you know. So let's see what happens. This ought to be a good one.
Yeah, I think it ought to be a good one too, Bob. You know, I think that these are kind of fights that boxing fans want to see. And, you know, Madison Square Garden is a great place to get some visibility and great boxing fans that attend those big fights in Madison Square Garden. You know, if you can do it there, you can do it everywhere. And you arrive on the scene and on the screen, you become a star. And hopefully on ESPN with their over 33 million viewers that they have, that it turns into something, you know, where you know, he can get some notoriety. But with a torn bicep like that, and in the past I know guys that had him come back, like Jeff Lampkin. I trained him when he was cruiserweight champion. He had a torn rotator cuff.
Okay, right.
And how difficult it was on the comeback. You know, he only got certain kind of movement back with that. So, you know, it's something you have to work with. You know, some people are limited and some ain't, but we'll see that again. We'll see that tonight, if that has any restraints on the things that he could do, his offense and defense and, you know, his body movement and things.
Right. And we also have the fights coming out of L.A. tonight on DAZN. We got our guy out of Philly, Blair DeFlair. Cobbs, man, he's looking for a big upset over Roca, too, tonight, too. So it's Alexis Roca, he's 18-1, and Blair Cobbs undefeated, 15-0-1. So that's the big highlight out there coming from L.A. later on.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob.
Right. So, yeah, lots of good fights going on. And as we mentioned, there's 23 countries, which is nice to have that.
Yeah, this is the World Boxing Review radio show, man. Thank you for tuning in. Is this Daryl P. Man Jones?
Son, you got the wrong number.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey,
okay.
That's the wrong number. They called into the show. You know, we can see what happened. They called in and hung up. So, Bob, you go ahead. I'm going to try to get him on the line.
Yeah, you keep going, trying to get them. Yeah, we'll continue on here talking about that other big fight that's going on tonight, too. It's done. We just won't tell you who won. You can look that up later. But we also who won that. But the big fight in Japan between Masamichi Yabuki and Kenshiro Taraji, that's the big fight for the WBC World Light Flyweight title fight. Big fight last time they had, and I said Taraji got beat by Yabuki, and we'll see what goes on tonight. Again, we always like covering it. We talk heavyweights, they rule boxing, but, man, we have those flyweights and the light flies and the super flies and all those guys going at it. So they got it going on tonight. Also, another big fight down there in Queensland, Australia, between Jacob Eng. He's 15-0. He's got the IBF International and WBO Oriental lightweight belt. He's taken on a guy who's been around, man, 47-6, 27 KOs, Billy Dibb. You don't hear his name too often, but we know about him. And those are two big things that I said they're probably done by now. And don't forget, too, we got Dubai. Sonny Edwards, man, he's the British unbeaten. He's 17-0, taking on Muhammad Vasim. He's only got one loss. And Regis Prograis is going to be fighting on that card, as well as TJ Doheny. So you've got some names. These guys are, you know, former champions and guys that are trying to be champions again and just working it and you know, taking it to the streets of all these great places, from Dubai to Japan, to Australia, to Madison Square Garden, to Los Angeles, you know, and Argentina also has the big fights, too. And you know, they have that World Female Flyweight Contest tonight with Deborah Nahi Lopez and Tamara Elizabeth DeMarco. That's the WBO World Female Flyweight title fight.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, Bob, man. It's boxing is busy now, you know, with ESPN going to DAZN, going, taking all these fights, and, you know, Fox with their fights that they have. So boxing's back being busy again, and let's see how these big pay-per-views come out. You know, last week we had a long different conversation about Canelo Alvarez, you know, and we still stick to the same thoughts of Canelo Alvarez that we said before. He lobbied the WBC, his trainer did, in order to get a fight with McMood,
McCobble.
McCobble, to have a move up in weight class to get a fight. And, you know, they okayed it and everything was hunky-dory, peachy-peachy. And then all of a sudden after they do that, you know, he changed his horses in the middle of the stream after they went through a process in their organization to appease a great champion and to say, hey, look, he's wants to move up weight class. We're going to make that opportunity happen for him. And they made it happen for him, but he don't want to make it happen for himself. I don't understand those moves like that, you know. One thing about the WBC, the people of the word, they force stand with you. They stand for you. And when they do something, they stand by it. And, you know, and this is what fighters have to realize. You got to stand by things once you go through these different procedures of these organizations. You got to stand by, man. You got to be a man and stand up and honor your word or your camp's word, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he has to do that, Bob. I think it's the best thing for him to go on and do it and go and get the title and say, well, you got another one up your belt. And, you know, conversations will arrive that he'll fight Anna Luis, but he will be taking the stair steps to get to the a heavyweight like that, you know. And Anna Luis and Canelo Alvarez is a big fight.
Oh, Mexico, yeah. That would be a big one for them down there to watch that one, too. But, you know, we also talked, of course, part of the whole conversation with the Canelo upcoming fight is Dmitry Bivol, you know, being of Russian origin, you know, being born there. But trying to say, hey, man, do the right thing and just step aside. We don't, you know, we're just not talking about Russian fighters right now. And it's just the way it is. And, you know, he needs to step aside while this conflict is going on. And Canelo needs to, like we said, to make the right choices and move on and get back to what he had promised against this Makubu.
Yeah, absolutely. And to move on, Bob, let's go down to Secure Stevens.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, there was conversations. You know, he's still with Bob Arum, but he's also in the Crawford camp, but he stayed with Bob Arum because he said, you know, certain things are being made for him that he likes certain fights. You know, he's getting exposure on ESPN and things like that, and he's building his brand. And they had asked him why didn't he sign with Mayweather in a conversation, and he said, well, he had talked to Mayweather, and the conversation was all about him, Mayweather, instead of a conversation about him.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
He was the talent. He wanted to be promoted in a certain way, and he had dreams and aspirations of things that he wanted to do. And he said he talked with Top Rank, and Top Rank fulfilled those needs and dreams in terms of fights, title fights. In 2 years, they got him a title fighting and became champion, you know, and he's steadily growing to be a star, you know, coming out of the Olympics like that. And he was saying that's what he had looked for, you know, in terms of where his career is at now. You know, we'll see as he keeps fighting, become a bigger star, what happens when the money, the millions and millions of dollars, if they keep on branding them, in terms of the financial things that go in your pocket. And let's see if that can really happen for him. And if it does, it'd be real nice for him to see that he believed in something, he stuck to it to get the big money. But that's yet to be seen. You know, he got the title, the championship, and then it's the dollar bills, Bob.
Right. Right. And let's also talk about that fight. That's April 30th. And Shakur Stevenson is going to be taking on Oscar Valdez. And that's for the WBC, NWBO, World Super Featherweight titles. And that's coming from the MGM Grand in Vegas. But that's also the same night that the Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano fight is going on back in New York City at Madison Square Garden. And there's Jesse Vargas and Liam Smith also on that card, and a couple few good other fights too. But, you know, there was some talk about whether they wanted to put that fight up against, you know, the Serrano-Taylor fight, and they're trying to work it out. So with the time difference and everything else, they believe that they're going to have the Stevenson-Valdez fight on after Taylor versus Serrano. But, yeah, there we go again. You know, it's like, bam, he's fighting, and we got two good fights going on, one on DAZN and one on ESPN.
You're absolutely. And we're going to see, you know, with Olympic star, you know, fighting a unification fight with Shakur Stephen, how women's boxing is going to stand up in terms of ratings and stuff like that. And that's going to be very interesting. And with Kelly Taylor is a major star. Let's see who holds the audience. Or both of them do real good, and that would be terrific for boxing. You know, to see that women's boxing is right on the equal to men's boxing or boxing itself, and that it's equal, and they will have arrived if that happens.
Right, and you know that whole fight going on the Madison Square with Katie Taylor and Serrano, that's for four belts, but also on that undercard, yeah, Franchon Cruz DAZN against Ellen Siderus, and that's for four belts too. That's for the World Female Super Middleweight titles. So, you know, you don't only have the one women's fight, but this is a big one too. You know, two big fights with four belts on the line, and that's an exciting night.
Yes, it is, Bob. It's a real exciting night, man. And I can't wait, you know, boxing fans, when you see stuff like that, all that boxing, you just sit back. You know, you have a little friends over, a little party, and stuff like that, and sit, lay back, and watch boxing. And that's what we need, man. And that's what keeps it going, Bob.
Yes, it is. It keeps it going, indeed. And there's going to be a lot of fights before that, too. But that's not that far away. You know, it's about, 6 weeks out. And I just saw some pictures this past week with Katie Taylor working out, and she's looking good, of course, always. She, you know, she's going to be ready. And Serrano, man, she's got, 42 wins, 42 1-1. What's her record? I think it's something like that. But, man, yeah, it's 42 1-1, yeah. So, and Katie Taylor's 20-0. You can't ask for a better fight. That's what we've been talking about since it was announced. And it's going to be the headliner at Madison Square Garden, going to be on DAZN. And it's just going to be something to behold when it's done.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob, you know. Wasn't there a fight in Dubai just the other day? I believe unbeaten Olympian super heavyweight.
Last week in Dubai, let me see who was going on last week. I know the big one tonight in Dubai we were just talking about. Let me just give me a second here. Oh, money, but yeah, here it is. There was a women's fight between Alima Vunjadi and Urashi Singh. Yeah, they fight. That was the open IBA World Super Bantamweight crown. And then we had lightweights. I don't see any super heavies. That was the Dubai fight last week. Might have been the week before. Because they seem to be doing fights every week there now in Dubai. They're getting it together. And, you know, they saw they could make some money pulling people from around the world. And so Dubai's getting to be a place where they're, you know, having fights and people are wanting to go there.
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently they must be getting crowds because they keep on doing fights there in Dubai. And I'm happy about that because the more places open up for boxing, you know, it brings more skin in the game. More skin in the game, more people can go there and defend belts and make money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the money's behind it, too. So they're definitely not –
it's not a poor country. We know that about Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, and it's just going to be something that we keep an eye on, and we see the fights, and we'll see what happens tonight. You know, unfortunately, we really don't get the numbers anymore. That's sometimes a little frustrating for us. You know what I mean? It's like the streaming services just don't tell you how many people are watching. But again, Dubai tonight, Sonny Edwards versus Wasim. Prograis is on that card, Doheny. You know, they're names that have been around, that they've been champions, and we just don't understand sometimes why we don't get to see how many people watch. You know, when they got it all close to the vest, it's all the streaming. See, you know, so the Zone can have X amount of subscribers, but that doesn't mean everybody's watching the fight. So they can sit there and say they have all these subscribers, but how many people really watch it? But, you know, it's hard to say, man, you know. It's frustrating sometimes, as you know.
Yeah, and I believe Showtime is having on March 26th, is it?
Next week, the Showtime, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Armory in Minneapolis, Minnesota with Tim Zhu.
Right, Tim Zhu, yes, yeah.
Yeah, he's fighting, defending his...
against Gaucho, yeah. But,
yeah,
he's the Australian. He's in the country now. He just got in here, I guess, this past week we saw... that he arrived and he's getting himself acquainted to the time zone, time shift and all that. And he's making his way to Minneapolis for that next week. We'll be talking about that more. Yeah, Terrell Gaucho is who he's fighting.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be a terrific super welterweight fight, Bob. It's a great matchup. And to be up there in Minnesota, you know, Minnesota's starting to get a lot of fights again up in there. You know, it's probably warmed up a little bit. You know, they did some fights in the winter, but now that it's warming up, I hope people come out to that bout. And, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a few fights on the undercard, I think that would be great, you know.
Yeah, that will be fun. Also, next week we have Bruchelt coming back, too. He had that injury. And, you know, he's a former champion as well. Lee Selby's fighting next week. And Josh Warrington, Kiko Martinez go at it. So there's some good fights coming up on the horizon. We'll be talking more about that, too. Chaiphan Moonsri, too, man, out of Thailand. He's fighting on Tuesday the 29th. They would like to fight those things in the middle of the week. But, you know, Moonsri, man, he was the one that went 55-0 until he got beat this last time out. He was retiring. He should have stayed retired, we say, instead of losing. But then he did get another win. But now he's having a rematch. This is, he's going to be fighting this Gaddafi, who was the guy who beat him. And that's going to be for the WBC World Minimum Weight title fight, man. But, you know, you go 55-1, man, I want to see you fight. You get excited.
Really get some excitement. But, Bob, we want to dig in again back into that heavyweight thing.
Sure.
So before we got 2 minutes here. In
okay, right.
Anthony Joshua against Trevor Bryan. I think for the WBA, that's the fight that needs to happen. It makes a whole lot of sense. Is because he's the next available contender for Trevor Bryan. He's not champion, Anthony Joshua. He's a contender since that fight with Usyk is on limbo, and Anthony Joshua is saying he wants to fight. You know, Trevor Bryan's the fight for that fight. And that fight for boxing, I think it would be great. And if Anthony Joshua wins, or Trevor Bryan wins, but Trevor Bryan is definitely in the conversation in the heavyweight division, and they need to put him in the conversation and don't underlook him and things like that. They need to keep Trevor Bryan in the conversation, and he needs Anthony Joshua, needs to fight Trevor Bryan in order to stay busy while Usyk is there in recession. And it makes sense in boxing for that to happen. And then the Boers, the Bones, whoever, he's the next one in line after that. But Anthony Joshua needs to fight Trevor Bryan. And with 1 minute to go, Bob, in closing, I'd like to thank everybody around the world for tuning into the World Boxing Review. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And Bob Murray, our radio aficionado, as he goes around the world week in and week out, from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, we're coming live. And Henry Haskopp, our boxing historian. Man, Bob, we got it in this week. It didn't go over.
We were jamming, man. Yeah. Yeah. And let's say Trevor Bryant, man, he's the pride of Schenectady, New York, too. Let's give it up for his hometown. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a native New Yorker, right?
There you go. Right.
Yeah. We love New York. But right. Tune in every Saturday from 11 to 12 on the World Boxing Review radio show. Thank you for tuning in.
All right.